Okay, so we're just finished Parashish, the Mishnah of Halakha Beis, and we're up to the Gemara on that Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, so if you recall, yesterday we found the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim as to what happens if somebody feeds his workmen truma. So according to Rabbi Meir, the workmen are the ones who ate, and therefore they're responsible to pay the chomesh, but the owner is responsible to pay the keren. Whereas according to the Chachamim, they pay both the keren and the chomesh, and the owner pays them back because he owes them for the money of their seuda. He has to pay it back to them. But it says the Gemara, I mean, what's the difference? It boils down to exactly the same thing. I mean, HaRevi Meir Amar Mishalmin, Rabbanan Amar Mishalmin, Samavi Meir. They both end up saying that the guy has to pay. I mean, what do we care whether he pays the Kohen or whether he pays his workers? He still has to pay. Om Rabbi Okunan, Ikas Udabenehem. The machlokas between them is who is the one that is responsible in the first place for the tircha of preparing a seuda as opposed to simply giving money. That's the machlokas. Rabbi Meir Amar, Ikas Udalab Alabayat. Rabbi Meir holds the Balabayat is mechuyav to actually give a meal. He can't give money to the Poalim and say, okay, here's money, go buy yourself something to eat. In which case, over here too, it's the Balabayat, therefore, that has to give the Seuda back to the Kohen. And he can't simply pay back the value of the money to the Poalim who now give the Seuda, because you have to give the actual food to the Kohen, because it becomes Truma. Whereas according to the Chachamim, Rabbanan Amri, Ikar Seuda LePoalim. He doesn't have to give the actual seudah to the Poalim. He could have given them money in the first place. They're the ones that have to take the trouble making the seudah. In which case, the Balabayit is only in a position of being responsible for cash. And that's what he's doing. He's paying back cash to the Poalim. So fine, let him pay back the cash and let them worry about taking care of the actual chulin, the tukanim, that now become truma, and giving it back to the Kohen. Rabshina ben Lakisham there, Rishon Lakish argues on Rabbi Yochanan. He says, no, that's not the machlokas. Tfela b'neihem. But the machlokas between the two of them is not as Rabbi Yochanan learns. Rish Lakish holds that everybody is moda, that the Ikar Seuda is the responsibility of the Baal HaBayit. The reason that according to Chachamim, he doesn't have to pay now directly to the Kohen, and instead he just gives back cash, that's because when it comes to the Poalim, he could have given to the Poalim anything at all. What if he had something that he found with Hefker? He could have given them some Hefker too, right? He's not responsible for a particular type of thing, but he couldn't have given Hefker to the Kohen, because as we said before, you have to give to the Kohen something that's Roy Leo's Kodesh, and Hefker is not Roy Leo's Kodesh, it's not Chayav and Truma when I take from Hefker. Right? So therefore, if that's the case, the tzvela, in other words, who has to be mitapel, tzvela? Who has to be mitapel to find the chulin, the tukanim? It was never my responsibility as the Baal HaBayit to find chulin, the tukanim. So therefore, you are the ones that would have to find the chulin, the tukanim, is what the Chachamim would be saying. Rabbi Meir is saying the tzvela, even the chiyuv to be mitapel, the tirka to be mitapel, is the responsibility of the owner. And that's because, this is Rabbi Meir, Shita all over, is Rabbi Meir holds going to the Garmi. You are responsible for causing damage. And over here, you as the Baal HaBayit caused these poalim by inadvertently having them eat truma to have to go now to the tircha of getting chulin metukanim. Since you caused that loss, you have to make good that loss. And you have to go and find the chulin metukanim. This is Rabbi Meir Shita all over. The Chachamim say, well, why should it be your responsibility? Fine, so you caused them a loss. Okay, you're not responsible for causing people losses. You're responsible only for making losses, not just for being goring losses, because they don't all die into the garment. And therefore, in this case, it's their responsibility. You don't have to worry about the fail. Obviously, you owe them a seuda, yes, but you don't owe them the additional value of being mitapel in this sense. That's not your responsibility. Rabbi Abu B'Shem Rav Shimon Lakish points out that Halamazed Domer, when we say over here that the Su'uda, the Iker Su'uda, is a function of the responsibility of the general Balabayas' relationship to the Poalim, it would be, for instance, somebody who sells Mokra Chepes L'Chaveiro. He sells something to a friend, and it turns out that it's not his, right? So what does he do? Does he give him back his money? Or is there an implicit relationship in the sale that I have to get you the thing that I said I'm going to sell you? So I can't just give you your money back. So here too, you were mitzkayev to them to give them a su'uda. And now it turns out that this su'uda did not belong to you. So now you now become responsible for a su'uda. You can't just give them money. In the same way that if you have a piece of merchandise that you sold, you can't just give back money. And that's why he's saying you're the one who's responsible to pay back to the Baal HaBayit. Okay? So who chayav lamid lo mikcho? But you sir, Shimon HaLakishit Amrit Nich. Okay, now, I understand that this, according to him, makes a lot of sense, according to Rosh Lakish, because after all, he says that everybody is motive, that the Ikris Uda is on the Baal HaBayit. Now the only machlokes is in the grama of the tefila. So now it's a good, that's a good metaphor. This is the same as Mokra Chepes L'Chaveiro, but Inkra Yochanan Amar. How about if you all, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Ikra Su'uda B'nei'em, that according to Chachomim, the Ikra Su'uda is for the Po'alim to take care of, not for the Baal HaBayit. He says there's a much more profound issue at stake over here than the question of Dain Din HaDagami. It's a question of what the original responsibility was of the owners of the Poalim. So now, then, this metaphor is nonsensical. Ta'at amitachi, you're comparing it to selling a particular item? Well, that was the whole point, is that Rabbi Yochanan was saying that Aliba the Chachamim, there is no specific item. You could have just given him money. So then it's nonsensical to make this comparison. It's specifically not this comparison that he went out of his way to say. Don't look at this as being a chiyuv of me to give you a su'uda. My chiyuv was only to give you the value of a su'uda in the first place. And therefore, why should I be the one that has to pay the kohen? I'll just give you the money. So why are we saying halamai zedona as if it's a given? No. Obviously, it's only to a mayor, Itamar. This metaphor, according to Rabbi Yochanan, will only be meaningful in Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that you have to be, you're responsible to give him an actual Su'udah, the way Rabbi Yochanan was understanding it. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Meir, this would be a valid metaphor. According to Rosh Lakish, it's a valid metaphor for both of them. Rabbi Abu B'Shem Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is something else entirely. It's Shevach Su'uda B'Neir. The difference is, according to Rabbi Meir, you pay them everything that the Su'uda was worth, meaning that you're the one that has to pay the going directly, which is the full value of the Su'uda. The Chachamim would say you give them the dummim for the Su'uda. All you have to pay them is the shevach, meaning the difference in value between the chulin that you were supposed to give them and the truma that you did give them. That's your only responsibility. It's their responsibility for eating truma, because all you did was cause them to eat truma. But you saved money in feeding them truma, because truma is worth less than chulin. You really owe them chulin. So let's say if chulin, because truma has a limited market, going to be much cheaper. So there's a 50% discount on truma. So you owe them 50% of the soda, the difference between the chulin and the truma. That's all you owe them. Well, because now they owe money to the coin because of you, and that's the finance they have to pay. So what part of that is your responsibility? It will not make a major difference now. It's a 50% difference if you hold it to din and sheva. Kishapasat iman lahachilan. You made an agreement now to pay them dapshanei chulin, to pay them these sweets, these good things of chulin. That you want dapshanei truma, and in the end you gave them truma. So you violated your contract, right? Okay, so therefore you have to pay for the cake, so to speak. That's not, just a cute way of using the word. So pay them the cake. That's the shadow. The lo kvar aklo, which is your question, what's the deal over here? They ate all that. They got a full belly out of this deal, right? So if they ate already, the way Rabbi Yochanan is explaining Rabbi Meir. So what's he saying? According to Rabbi Meir, the Iker Su'udah, he owed them. Fine. So he gave them the Iker Su'udah. They have a full belly, right? And you're saying that since he has to now give them the Mekach that he agreed to. What's the difference for them? The Mekach is exactly the same for them. And they ended up eating. They ate that Su'udah. So why should even Mekuyah pay more? It's only now the Dummim that he owns them. So what logic? By what logic do we say that since initially he had to give them the Su'udah, he now has to give that same Su'udah to the Kohani? He did give them that Su'udah. He was Yosei his fiyah to provide them a full belly. So now, why does that mean that the next step is, and therefore he has to give the Kohen a full belly? I mean, that doesn't follow at all. They were the ones who ate. Let them now pay for the eating, and he'll repay them. But he certainly gave them their full belly. So what's his responsibility now? Kamandi Amar, Tvalim Nafsho Shal Adam Chatameh. When a person knows that he ate Tevel, he's disgusted. In other words, let's say it turns out he thought he was eating kashrus, so it was pig. You're going to tell him, well, he got a full belly out of it. He's nauseated by it, right? So therefore, he still owes them the Tzarkei HaSu'udah, so to speak. That's not called the Tzarkei HaSu'udah. Omer Abyanai, Litzdadim Himatnita. The truth is that our Mishnah, when it says, in the next part of the Mishnah, Ganav Truma, he only stole the Truma as opposed to eating the Truma. So let's start off over there. You take Truma of Hegdash, right? So you pay two Chumashim. So when you say you pay two Chumashim, it doesn't really mean that you pay two Chumashim together. It's saying it Litzdadim, meaning sometimes you pay the chomesh, means there's two types of chomesh to pay. Sometimes you pay chomesh to hegdash, and sometimes you pay chomesh for the truma. Meaning what? Yeshbo kezayis ve'in bo sheva pruta. Let's say that there was a kezayis of truma in what he ate, but there was no sheva pruta. Okay, this kezayis was worth less than the sheva pruta. So then, all that he owes the chomesh for would be for the achilas truma. That's exeris hakaras. It has nothing to do with the value. That has to do with the fact of eating. So in such a case, he would be mishalem l'shevet. He only owes, this is a typical reversal in the Yerushalmi, right? So it's mishalem l'shevet. He only owes not for me'ila, because me'ila is defined by shavah pruta, and he didn't need a shavah pruta. There's no din of lechomish for hag this year. On the other hand, yesh for shavah pruta bein bo kezayis, if he eats the shavah pruta, so in terms of the dinim of me'ila, he is responsible for a chomish. But in terms of the dinim of achilas truma, he never ate truma. And therefore, he's been mishalim only lahegdash. Right? So in other words, it's not that he's going to be chayav both. But we can separate it. One is a monetary fee, and one is an achila fee. They're really very, very different. Right? So if there's a shavah pruta but no kezayis, then he's only mishalim lahegdash. Now how about yeshbo kezayis v'yeshbo shavah pruta? That now there should be a chiyuv for the din of me'ila, because of the shavah pruta, and for the din of the truma, for the achila. So according to who would he pay now? Because Rabbi Yanai is saying there's only one chomesh. Well, which chomesh would it be? Well, there says Shimon b'shem Rabba, b'shem Yonatan, would say b'shalim lahegdash, and Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'shalim l'shevet. So the question is the Iker Yisrael via the Iser of Truma, which was the way this started out, began as Truma, so that Chiyuv remains on it, or do we say we look at what it is now? What's the Svar to say that we look at what it is now? Amr Zehira, the reason that Shimon Barva probably to say, is because of Gedera's Akosa. As it says, the Ishti Yochal Kodesh Pishkaga. The Ishti Yochal Kodesh Pishkaga, it then ends by saying, Yunatan La Kohen Et HaKodesh. You should give the Kohen the Kodesh V'yotip Chamishito Allah. So we make a drush on that, and we say, L'makom Shakeren Mahalev HaKomish Mahalev. Since it says V'yotip Chamishito Allah, wherever you're going to owe the monetary Karen, which is clearly over your Hekdesh, because it was stolen from Hekdesh, that's the one that you got to repay. That's where the Chomish is Mahalev, because you're being motive on it. Chamishito Allah. So how can you pay the Chomish to a different individual if it's a din in paying Chomish on the Karen that you're paying? So the Makom Shah Karen Malech, Sham HaChomish Malech. Kana Amar, Kana says, this whole thing is not true. Mishnah Shnei Chumashim. It's a completely separate Chiyuvim. Chomish L'Shevet, V'Chomish L'Egdesh. The Mishnah was not said with studim according to Rav Kana. The Mishnah is saying Mishalim Shnei Chumashim means Shnei Chumashim at the same time. Then continues the Mishnah. The reason you only pay one Karen even though you stole is because She'im Bobek is Tashlumi Kefal. There's no din of Kefal, and that's why there's no double Tashlumi. Shenema, how do we know that there's no din of Kefal? Shenema Yishalim Shnei L'Re'eyu. To your friend there's a din of Kefal. L'Re'eyu V'lo L'Hegdash. Yeah, sure, of course. And it says, that's what it says. You have to come to all of specifically, I think. Reb Shimon ben Lakish on Ma'alahom, are Tarsum Afrayata. When it says the Chachomim are matirin be'elu, what is the elu? The last two cases, the Maitarishan and the Maitasheni is one case, and the Hegdash. That's the only thing that the Chachomim are saying you can use to pay. Lama. Because on those things there is, before you made them, now, Kodesh, right? Or before you went ahead and you took off Meister B'Shibolim, you went ahead now and took off Meister before it became Chayev and Truma. This was something that would have been Roy to take off Truma for. If that's the case, then you can't say that these are things that are not included in the Pasuk of to pay the Kohen as HaKodesh. And these can't be Kodesh. They could have been Kodesh. It's circumstantial that they turned out not to be Kodesh. So in those two cases, with Leket Shikha Upeya, over there, they're not included. Why is that? Leket Shikha over there, Amen, Zika, Sumas, and Maestas. I mean, why can't you say the same thing about Leket Shikha Upeya, that they too were Roy L'Kachila for Truma, because if we're talking about Shikha, even of Omarim, remember that it's possible to be shofeach the standing grain after it's been tied into bail. Right? So if we're talking about that, then what we're talking about peah, where you already cut everything and you left it betolosh, because you take off peah betolosh also. So before you took it off as peah, the moment that you finished the ketira, it was now roy for truma. And leket is also after the ketira. So it was roy to be kodesh. So what's the difference between that and the case where you were mocked in the mitre, Bishibolim? I don't understand. If you're telling me that it's only circumstantial, fine, it's only circumstantial you made this to pay it. It's only circumstantial that it became like a Bishik. Initially, it was Roy to be true like anything else. I don't understand what the difference is. Ella, what we're talking about is, it should say, the Nishirat like it. The Nishirat Leket Ubikamat Peha is what it's talking about. We're talking about Leket that was there at the time that you did the actual Ketira. It never went into his hand. It's not that he dropped it. Never went into his hand at all. So it was the moment that it was Niksa, it became Leket at that instant. There was never an instant during which it was actually Roy to be Truma. Now we decided, I drop it, and it becomes Leket. Same thing with Shuat Peha. Say it's done with a normal tear, where the guy never cut that part of the shield. He left it for the Aniyim to take off. The Shikha is talking about the same thing, the Shikha of a Truma. So in other words, it was never Roy to be Chayev in Truma from the minute that it became available as a grain. It belonged to the Ani under the umbrella of like a Shikha to pay. So Mamela, in those cases, So that's an anti-amin. That's what it is that we're talking about over here. Ah, so let's have a pashta shiyoti dechiyoti. Does that not therefore tell you right off the bat the answer to the famous question of chiyoti? The chiyotai shah, leket v'nishira mahu, which should say here too, not nishika. Leket v'nishira mahu sheyikadesh. What is the din? When does leket become leket? Is it at the time of the ketira mamish, or is it the time when it falls to the ground and now the guy can take it? So it would make a tremendous opportunity. But let's say you see something falling before it hits the ground, you say, I want it to be kosher. Mm-hmm. So then was it already roy for the aniyim at the minute that it fell out of your hand? Or is it become now leket at the moment that it hits the ground now, and now the ani is able to walk around your field and take it? Okay, now from this Mishnah, it would appear, because now that we've said that it's talking about leket b'shat nishira, leket b'shat nishira means that there was no time, even until it hit the ground, that it was right to be taken to Okay? So that's the case, the teacher here, that leket becomes kodesh, so to speak, and it gets the din of leket from the time that it drops out of your hand. Okay, because if you're going to tell me it only becomes leket when it hits the ground, then it was roy to be truma during that interim period of 1 second. So if somebody would have caught it, he could have made it truma. Okay. So it must be that it's from the moment of the ketira it already becomes leket. In which case, chilfi is now answered. If I said it should be kodesh while it's falling, it's not mine to say it should be kodesh. It's leket. The chilfi shah, leket v'nishira ma'oshi kadesh. Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei, you should say, Amalei first, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Vataminan, leket. Islak Neymar, Teya, leket. Understand, forget about the whole deal that we have. Why is it now that we said that we're only going on the two last cases, and what's the difference between them, and we had to answer that it was leket finish years? Suppose you look at the Mishnah as itself. Even looking at the Mishnah, naively, you know the answer to the question of guilty, because it's over your leka upeya, right? In the case. And so we have leket and peya. What are you going to say? That it's talking about the same case? I mean, peya is generally given to mechuber, right? So if peya is given to mechuber, then it has to be that leket also is going to be in the same fashion as peya, in the same way that peya never became chayev in truma because it's given normally to mechuber. It must mean that leket is not going to be chayev in truma because it's given normally but in shira, without any analysis. The cases are aligned in that way. So the mela is clear that it's going to be b'shas nishira. In any event, Rabbi Yochanan says that when the chachomim are matirin, it means on all of the above questions, even in leket and shira. He holds that the chachomim do not say that you need for something to have been roi itself to be truma in order to be a takodesh. And therefore they disagree with the whole Tanakama's approach, Rabbi Meir's approach essentially, that the thing itself has to be roi to be truma, as long as it's mitukan. That's truma mitukanim. Not that this thing itself needed at one time to be roi for truma. Right? So he learns about chachomim. They disagree fundamentally with this whole issue. Not because this particular thing of Maitre is coincidental. For any of the cases, it's irrelevant whether it's coincidental or whether it's innate. As long as right now it's food that can be eaten by anybody, that's chulin the tukanim. The Torah says, give the food that's chulin. It's chulin now, give the food to the kohen. Give the food to the kohen, it becomes now truma. What do I care whether initially? I mean, it's chulin the tukanim also can't become truma. But the Torah created a new deal over here that chulin the tukanim can become truma. I mean, you just pay back a coin for eating truma, but sure, it would be twice. And the same thing could be by electric chicken. Why not?